What is up? We have started bowl season underway. Smitty still at school. I thought by the 20th everybody would be out.
I think this is their last day.
And it's Notre Dame playoff game, which should be a national holiday. So I don't know why he's not.
Oh my gosh! It started already.
Hey, look on the screen. We're about to talk about Florida.
I owe it to Q. Before we get into the playoff, we've got to preview the Gasparilla Bowl because they want to talk about this Gasparilla Bowl. Darian Mensah out for Tulane. Ty Thompson is going to start. For those who do not know, because why would you know the backup quarterback at Tulane?
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. He has entered the transfer portal, but he is going to start this game. Kai Horton has also entered. He's not on the depth chart. Darian Mensah is not on the depth chart. But Ty Thompson, five-star, dual-threat guy, committed to Oregon, transferred from Oregon to Tulane, so he's about to be on his third team. And let me just vent about this for a second. This is absolutely insane. They've got to fix this. But the NCAA doesn't have a spine. I don't feel like they're going to govern this. But it's more lucrative right now to play in college football than it is in the NFL. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I'm seeing Quinn Ewers by his draft stock might stick around and make an easy $4 million next year, potentially by a Big Ten or an SEC school, versus going as like a top five or six quarterback where he feels he should be one or two. The NFL draft scouts have him in that 5-6 range. So it's like go make $4 million, play – you know, maybe a better football year, then you just pump yourself back into that, you know, $50 million top five category pick. It's crazy. And I'll be honest, so we'll talk about him specifically, Mensah. I feel bad for Malik Murphy. He gave Duke in Manny Diaz's first year 9-3. I thought he played pretty well considering the turnover that they had, new coach, you know, new quarterback, things like that. And it sounds like that guy got told, hey, thanks, but no thanks on next season. We already brought a guy in. Appreciate the 9 wins you gave us this year. Like, I feel bad for that guy. Now he has to go to Oregon State, which we already know the DJ, you know, that didn't work out for him. But not only are guys screwing over the NFL, other teams, but, like, other guys are getting screwed because teams are going after other guys.
Yeah. Nick, you have anything else to add there?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of have a chat conversation about it in our text group. It's a lot to get into. I mean, there's no clean, easy way to fix it that doesn't either, one, hurt the players, or two, hurt the schools. Like, there's no easy way to go about it. Like, yes, it should be governed more. Like, I know it hurt me in college. Like, I went D1, transferred to a JUCO, then do it. So I did what I was supposed to. Went D1, transferred to JUCO. If you do that, you weren't supposed to have to sit out. But then I went JUCO, back to another D1, had to sit out a year. So it's like back then, this was, 2012? So this is a while ago. But now it is like, yeah, you can literally go to like three or four different schools if you want to, which is great for the kids. Like, take advantage of it. Like, if nobody's going to govern it, I can't blame them for wanting to get their money. Especially, like, you look at Diego Pavia. Great, 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 great reason here. Like, it's like he's not gonna be an NFL quarterback. I don't think anybody thinks that. So it's like, why should he not get his million per year to stay in college? If I were him, I'd want to do that as long as possible too before I become like a financial advisor with a Vandy like degree. So there's no easy way to go about it. Like, yes, there should be some governance. It's going to take years of this transfer portal with the NIL now only being like 2 years deep. We'll see. We're in the same boat then, Sean. So yeah, it's going to take years before we kind of get some type of governance on this NIL portal, like all this stuff, because there's no like governor for it. Like, nobody wants to step up and kind of do it and be the bad guy.
I personally think, and we'll transition, but I think the federal government's going to get involved. I've seen, you know, some testimony where the NCAA, whether it's the transgender cases that we've heard about, the NIL, like the federal government's starting to ask questions of, hey, why are you making these decisions, you know, that you stand for, or why aren't you? And the NCAA doesn't have an answer to anything, whether right, wrong, or indifferent. So if they're not going to pick a side or they're going to continue to blame, I think somebody's going to step in here. And obviously money talks. This is an extremely big topic, but You know, I'll say this. I think it's crazy, Nick. We're going to lose you because you have 3 years of eligibility left after Diego Pavia wins that. I agree with Sark. I have a problem with what just happened because I think it's going to screw kids out of high school, and it's our more prevalent sport in college baseball.
I was about to say that. Like, I don't know if you – yeah, the baseball one, it's going to be way worse than baseball. Kid,
if you're not top five in the country, like, A, you're not going to go to college because you're just going to go get drafted and make millions. But B, you're never going to get recruited because they're going to take a JUCO kid. It's really going to hurt the sport.
Mark your bingo square if you had transgender being discussed.
It was just
college football inside show. Wow, Q went there. All right. Well, moving right along, Q's Florida Gators. Q, update on potential opt-outs or confirmed opt-outs.
Cersei's out. He was on a depth chart. That was printed prior. Damian George, Cam Jackson, and Crenshaw Dixon are not going to play as well. They were spotted on the sidelines in sweats. That doesn't mean that somebody else won't do it. Those are just the names that I've seen. I still think Florida can win. DJ Lagway's playing. All the running backs are playing. The receivers are playing. They have a really good team still, and I think they need this win, and they should be able to handle Tulane here. But maybe not 17 points. It's going to be a little closer.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to live bet this one. Florida doesn't get off to the hottest start, but hopefully they can put a touchdown on the board and then get Tulane a little bit more. I know that line kind of bumped around from 13.5 down to 10.5 most recently. Total hasn't really moved. I know Tulane's got a good team, but they haven't faced a team like Florida. And I just think Napier has found a groove here with Lagway and Baugh. Montrell is going to play, which I think, you know, just beats up that offense even more. I know I've got some.
We're just going to run the ball. Yeah,
but why wouldn't you?
Get guys hurt. Yeah. Nick, I would say this. Moneyline parlay Florida, live bet Tulane.
Nick, see,
I would almost rather live bet Florida. And just hear me out. It's mostly because I just want to know what are we getting out of Tulane? And mostly because of where they were at 3 weeks ago. This was a team who was fighting for a college football playoff position. Like, they were right there with Boise State. If they'd have ran the table, like, looking back at it now, Boise State ended up winning out, probably would still get in. But Tulane was right there. And now all of a sudden they had an extremely disappointing effort against Memphis and then extremely disappointing effort against Army in the conference championship game. So it's like they were so close to that kind of like top and like being like a 12 seed or 11 seed. So where are they at mentally? And now you have a quarterback transferring out. You have a backup starting. So this is one of those. And you mentioned Florida not getting off to a hot start. I think if Florida gets off to a hot start here, they're also in Tampa. So it's there's going to be a lot more like Florida fans and Tulane fans.
I think a lot are going to be there.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, just because the momentum from the back half of the season, like this was a thing where it was like, there's no way Florida's winning any of the last five games of the year. And then it's like, oh, wait a second. And now they're getting all these recruits in, flipping guys. So it's like, there's a lot of momentum in Florida, and Tulane's kind of going the opposite way the last few weeks. So I think this is Florida getting off the bad starts. If they start fast, yeah, I could see Tulane kind of just being like, okay, let's shut it down and focus on next year. So I think I would rather, if I was live betting, I would rather go Florida.
I want to give out a bet and give it a shout out, Matt. Jake Fetner posted on his site, if your state allows player props, Trey Smack, the Florida's field goal kicker, over 1.5 field goals made was +125. I could absolutely, in Matt's theory, see him first two drives and maybe stall out and get two field goals by the end of the first quarter. And then Matt's right. Over 1.5 is right. Like that's a really good play that I wanted to give him a shout out for.
And my play on it was I did bet the first quarter under 10.5. I think we could land right at 10, yeah. A little 7-3. Co-defensive coordinator, one more note here. Ron Roberts for Florida was asked about facing Ty Thompson. He said there's going to be a first quarter adjustment period. We're going to have to play it by ear and adjust early. So they don't know if he's going to be run heavy or be able to throw. I know he's a big kid. He's got an arm, but he's also a 5-star dual threat. So that's going to be something to monitor as well. But moving right along, to the college football playoff round one. I, for one, am very excited to see how all these teams that play both tonight, which I don't really know why they did one game tonight and then three tomorrow, but I think it's going to be a lot of feeling it out, and you're going to hear me say that ad nauseum, but nobody's been in this situation. I mean, never. We got a late December playoff game.
At
Indiana's
home.
On the road. Yeah, like this is going to be – I feel like everybody's going to just
– This feels like Buffalo Bills are hosting a playoff game right now.
Right. It's just going to be a lot of like hold your cards. Don't do anything crazy. Don't try to take any deep shots. So I'm on a lot of unders, both first quarter and first half in these. Especially when you look at the defenses from Notre Dame and Indiana here. But, Nick, the Notre Dame fan, I'll let you just dive headfirst into this.
Yeah, I think – listen, you guys know I don't play sides on Notre Dame games. It's just one of my things. I'm too personally invested. All I care about is winning or losing, so I, like, try to avoid that side of things. Like, I don't want to take Notre Dame -7 and then be pissed when they only win by 5. Like, that's just not what I want to do. So I don't take sides. But listen, I lean Notre Dame here. And that's hint, hint, what I would probably play. It's one of those, we look back at the, like, Indiana's best game. We look at the Ohio State game. What, like, they got dominated up front. Notre Dame's offensive line is better than Ohio State's. Notre Dame's defensive line is better than Ohio State's. Indiana ran for 1.8 yards a carry in that game. And then they were forced to chuck it. Like, I get it. They have a good passing game. I'll take it, but that's still an Ohio ex-Ohio quarterback, like a MAC player of the year. And there's two receivers from James Madison. One of them will be an NFL guy. I can't think of his name right now, but he'll be an NFL guy for sure. It's this. I said it earlier in the show before, like East Coast Sports Investor show that me and Matt did. This is sort of like a men versus boys type of thing. And I looked this up and saw it on Twitter. So IU has four guys expected to be drafted. Notre Dame has 14. It's something that, like, when you look at like a talent gap, this is Indiana who brought in a lot of great transfers from James Madison and kind of the smaller schools and have kind of pieced together this perfect, it is a perfect roster for this year. Like, I'm not going to doubt it. Like, you can say what you want about their schedule, but they covered 8 games. Like, they beat who they're supposed to beat by a lot. But this is one of those in the trenches. When you look at, like, Q did it perfect. Like, you think about an NFL game up in the cold. This can be like this is going to probably look like an NFL game. I think if Notre Dame wants to make it look like an NFL game, they're going to. Like, this is going to be Jeremiah Love just up the middle and just 7 yards a pop. I think they're going to get him a bunch of carries. Darian Price will be right there to back him up as more of the thunder kind of to his lightning. And then that's not even including Riley Leonard's legs on third down or goal line situations where they can just run like a power formation and use him kind of like Tebow, where it's like you just let guys block in front of him, let him jump over the line. So this is just, like I said, go back to man against boys type of thing. I do love Cignetti, but I just don't know about like him in 2 weeks versus, and I get like Marcus Freeman's a new coach. You know who's not a new coach? Notre Dame's offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, who have been basically everywhere for 30 years. So, and they're the ones controlling the plays. They're the ones doing all of, like, the setups and like pregame, like in-game adjustments. So I don't know. I trust Notre Dame here. I have them in a money line parlay because I said I don't take lines or anything. But yeah, I think this is just a situation. I hate that like so many people are on Indiana. So many people, like almost everybody I've heard is like Indiana +7.5. But I think they're more of that darling. I think it's just this is Notre Dame's game in the trenches. We'll pull away.
Ken says, is everyone leaning under? I am. I mean, I took under first half 26.5.
I think this almost feels like a 27-10 type game.
Notre Dame 27-10?
Yeah. Notre Dame. If they lose this game, they should never be allowed in the playoffs again.
Jeremiah Love -230 to score a touchdown. If you like that, I would assume.
Here's one.
Parlay it with Notre Dame money line to get 114.
Leonard is 170.
I kind of
neither one's good, but like I would prefer the Leonard one over. Well, they're both going
to. They're down on the 1 yard line. They're not going to push this in. or have that's him dive yes. over the line.
Like, yeah, the being shotgun and have him kind of run. But like Jeremiah Love hasn't had a year game this year where he hasn't scored. He scored in 12 straight games. So it's do you parlay
like Notre Dame Notre Dame money line.
That's what I'm saying. Do you parlay Love and Leonard to score touchdowns?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think they're going to run heavy.
Yeah.
Listen, I think you said it perfectly. Indiana wants to pass. Well, guess what? Notre Dame is probably the best pass defense in the country.
Two All-American defensive backs.
Indiana is one of the better teams against a rush. While they haven't played a rush offense that Notre Dame gives you, Marcus Freeman, you mentioned, is a new coach, but they've been playing a playoff game since week three of the season. They're used to this. It's a home crowd. It's going to be in the 20s. Like, both teams are cold. Well, Smash Mouth football wins cold football games. That said, I think it's like a slower start because I think both of you are right. They're going to kind of feel each other out. It's different. This is, like Matt said, it's the first time we've ever had this. Toes are going to be a little cold, you know, getting into the water here. But I think late Notre Dame pulls on as just the battering ram just takes over Indiana here. So I like the under. I like Notre Dame in a moneyline parlay. I love either parlaying both or taking one or the other and parlaying with Notre Dame in terms of Riley Leonard or Love to score a touchdown. This is men to boys, okay? Indiana, like you said, four guys draft eligible or potential, I should say, 14. This reminds me of the Nick Saban heydays where Notre Dame would have to play Alabama, and Alabama just had men on their team, and Notre Dame was just smaller, and we saw the scores of those. So I think ultimately that comes down to it. Now we have a home field advantage where typically it was like Georgia and Atlanta, you know, or somebody down there. Well, this is literally in South Bend, so I think it's going to make all the world of difference.
One thing, I do think that Indiana has a coaching advantage. May not be a huge coaching advantage, but I think with the time that Cignetti's been able to prep for this game, if you do like Indiana, I wouldn't bet it at 6.5 right now. That 7.5 is gone, but may look.
It'll move back up before
Indiana first half. I think
there'll be enough. There'll be enough Notre Dame money taken. It'll go back to 7.
And then
in the game, like Notre Dame. I bet it. Yeah, if Notre Dame goes up quick, 7-0, that line's going to be. What do you think it would go if they score quickly? 7-0. So it's gonna
9.5.
Half 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe first quarter, live them. I don't like that. I think Notre Dame could win by 14-17, personally.
Yeah. I would take Indiana plus 4.5 in the first half, hope that they can keep it low scoring, drag it out, maybe go in the halftime 14-10, 13-10, something like that, and then live bet Notre Dame to really come out in the second half.
I know Shane Gillis is on game day. Who's the halftime speech? Is that Newt Rockne or Rudy? I've missed that.
Oh, I have to do the Rockne speech. Well, actually, it depends on if you're winning or losing. That's the difference. If you're down, got to be Rudy.
All right.
Let's move on to another matchup. I think is the men versus the boys. It's Penn State. You can say what you want about James Franklin in a big game. I joked and said on Jeff's show that the best thing that Penn State and James Franklin have going for them is that SMU doesn't have that single-digit ranking beside their name. I think this is one where Penn State probably dominates. We looked at SMU. They came out pretty flat against a 43rd-ranked Clemson defense. And now you travel up to Beaver Stadium in Pennsylvania where it's going to be cold. It's a whiteout. That crowd is going to be something like Kevin Jennings has not seen, especially when you look back at that ACC championship game where it was on a neutral field there in Charlotte. But I think that this game is Penn State's. I would split units minus 4.5 in the first half, minus 8.5 total there for the full game. I just – Penn State's ranked 8 and points allowed. I think it's just going to be a heavy dose of Aller dumping off to Warren. And that running back, number 10.
Singleton.
I Warren over under. How many touches does he have on the football? I bet you it's
at least 12. A dozen.
Yeah. 20 degrees. Matt, can I ask you a question? Do you think, like, and you just said it in your comment, so he sucks in the big game. Is SMU considered a big game? I mean, I know it's the college football playoff, but
it's a big game in the sense that it is a big game because of
pressure wise on him. Like, yeah, if they lose this one, if they lose this,
I don't feel like they are. Like, they're not a Michigan, they're not an Ohio State, not a Notre Dame, and it's at home. Like, I would be scared if they had to play like a Tennessee, you know, like a big team. I think you're right on saying SMU's the boys. I don't think they struggle personally at all.
Babyface says Allen Singleton will slash SMU. I agree. Yeah. I think it has potential to be a bloodbath. I can already hear the, oh, Alabama, this is why Alabama should have been in. But it is what it is. SMU earned their way here. I think that as good as Rhett Lashley's been, they haven't faced anything like this. And I think
if you had to pick one of the first four games for a team to cover the spread, who do you think it is?
We'll get there, but Tennessee for me.
All right. Let's move along. Clemson taking on Texas, another team that kind of lucked their way into the college football playoff here with Clemson. I don't like this one. This is the one that I would want no part of. I don't trust Texas enough to lay 12.5. I also could make a case that Texas wins this game by 3 touchdowns with their defense. Just kind of depends on what Quinn Ewers you get. I think that as far as Clemson's defense, there's nothing really daunting about it. Cade Klubnik, he's probably going to turn the ball over against a good defense in Texas. But Sark has been here before. They've been in a playoff. They know that, you know, they're supposed to be the best team in the SEC, especially right now with Georgia not having Carson Beck. I want to say Texas wins handedly, but
then say it because you know it's going to happen.
I don't know. Are you going to be surprised if Dabo Swinney gets?
Yes.
Gets because a win of here?
The Texas defense. I don't think Cade Klubnik's face this defense outside of the Georgia game, and Georgia smashed them. Now, I know that was week one of the season and a lot changes, but it's still the boys to men. Remember, this is a team, Texas has men on their team. We saw Dabo for this specific team. Now, he's doing it this year. He's already landed a couple of transfer portals after he said he wouldn't. But Cade Klubnik's a boy, in my opinion. Like, the rest of the guys are. They don't have – anybody, in my opinion, that's going to go up and smash mouth football against the Texas defense. I think the defense keeps it in the game. Quinn Ewers doesn't have to play fantastic. He just has to not turn the ball over. And I don't know that Clemson's defense is that good enough to continuously make him turn over. I'll say this. Could Texas not cover the 12.5? Absolutely. Do I think they'll win in that 7-10 range? Yeah, I love that. I think this is a perfect teaser play or a money line parlay play. But I don't think Texas has any trouble. I think this is where Klubnik kind of falls apart and we get maybe last year's version of him where it just becomes a little too much in a rowdy environment. Sark, you know, dropped the game last year. He's prepared to make a deep run this year. And I think the boys come out and play, especially coming off a loss to Georgia. They have something to prove.
Nick, you have anything else to add on this one?
I mean, Clemson signed a guy out of the portal this week, so anything can happen.
They did, yeah. He's a beast. I'll say that.
I know. Yeah, it was a good signing.
Yeah.
Which is weird because people keep signing all these great players out of Purdue, and yet Purdue's getting beat 66-0 every time you look at them. But, yeah, I'm a mix of both you guys. I haven't touched this line one way or another. I can see Texas winning. I could slip. Would I be shocked? Dabo's been here more than basically anybody but Saban, like in this position. He kind of has all like headline material, like all this stuff that you want. If this was a neutral game, neutral site game, I'd like it a lot more. Being at Texas, then being in the playoff, I think I would lean Texas. But kind of what I'm, my actual lean is I kind of want to see right now the line's at 19.5 is the team total for Clemson. I want to see if that gets a 20. If that gets a 20, I'm taking that team total under. We just saw 3 weeks ago they faced South Carolina with a great defensive line. They were held to 14. Texas's defensive line is not as good on the edge, but is much better up the middle. So we could see the same. We could see the same type of thing. Klubnik's been better than expected this year. I will say that. Yes. But also, it's against the teams that aren't great. Like, he didn't show up against South Carolina, didn't show up against Georgia, and now he gets Texas. So it's like, okay, are you just padding stats against the lower teams, and then big time games, you're letting it down.
He didn't do much in the second half versus SMU either.
No, he didn't. No, absolutely not. And another thing, Phil Mafah's rushing yards prop is only 44 yards. That kind of tells me something else. Like, because it's like, if you think Clemson's going to win this game, Phil Mafah's going to run for 100. Like, he would have to. I think that's the only way that they can win. So I think his prop being 44 kind of tells you what the books are thinking. But I don't know. Because could I see Texas winning like 28-10? Yes. Could I see a 21-14 game? Yes. So I don't know. I'm staying completely away from this game. The only thing I'm waiting for is where that team total ends up. But yeah, for right now, this is probably, like Matt said, this is the most, I think, unpredictable game of the weekend.
Do you think Arch Manning comes in this game?
If he gets
down the goal line, he's going to run.
I think if he was going to, would we not have seen the SEC championship game? Like, Sark, I think there's something with Quinn Ewers. Like, they're the Quinn Ewers, all this talk this week too. He's got a transfer. He's not going to go in the draft. He's like, all this stuff is happening. It's like, this wouldn't be brand new news to Sark and offensive coordinators. Like, if they were going to use Arch, why'd they put him in for two snaps last week when we all thought he'd play like maybe get 10 to 15, like a package? Like, if he plays this game, yes, that's way better news for Texas. But I just think there's something kind of going on down there, which also in Texas, that's another reason. You don't want your quarterback in your program thinking during a playoff game week is our quarterback transferring? Like, that's not what you want your like headlining news to be. So I don't know. Just a lot going on in this game. I would love to see Arch, but
the reason I ask is
he hasn't trusted him up to this point. And it's hard to believe that now the playoff game he would after SEC championship game, he didn't. They snapped it through his legs, for God's sakes.
Yeah. He's plus 235 to score a rushing touchdown. But another way that I may attack it, you can get under 239.5 yards passing for Quinn, plus 123. I wouldn't be surprised. There's two avenues. Either Texas is up by so much that Arch comes in, or Quinn struggles and Arch comes in.
I think wait for Isaiah Bond news too. If Isaiah Bond didn't play, yeah, like hammer that.
I saw he was doubtful.
I don't think so, but I'm actually going to go ahead.
They said he was going to. Okay, I was going to say I thought they were.
Yeah, you could. I mean, why couldn't you play both? Why couldn't Texas go out to a big lead? They start running the ball, and then down low, you see one of those Arch Manning, you know, sweeps to where he scores. It's weird that he plays against teams not named Georgia. Like two or three plays in the first matchup, two or three in the second one, but he's played against other teams. That's kind of what sticks out to me is does Sark, did he know something like Georgia was preparing for it, so I'm not going to go there. Whereas Clemson, you could probably beat Clemson's defense more handedly than you could Georgia, and maybe you didn't want to take a chance of losing your backup. I don't know. I'm just spinning theories, but I think it's weird that he's played, you know, several snaps in each game in some sort of package, except for against Georgia.
Or do you think he doesn't want the controversy of, say, puts Arch in?
Well, I think
Arch goes 5 for 5 for 89 yards with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown, and then all of a sudden you're in the quarterfinal game next week, and the entire talk is it should be Arch. It should be Arch. Get Ewers out of there. And it's like, do they really want that talk either?
No, I don't think you do, because I think it'll divide a locker room.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Ken says Tennessee to your question about which dog. Tennessee has not been impressive. Nico Iamaleava has not been what he was in the beginning of the season. Tennessee has undoubtedly a very good defense against the rush, and Ohio State can run the ball. I don't trust Will Howard. We've talked about that. I don't trust Ryan Day in big games. I could totally make a case that Tennessee stays within this number. I do think at the end of the day, Ohio State's the better team. They probably win this game, but I lean under 23.5 for the first half. Because again, I think It's going to be defenses. It kind of also depends on what Chip Kelly does calling these plays. If he tries to get stubborn and do 19 runs up the middle for 14 yards, that's not going to beat Tennessee. In fact, that's going to play right into their hand, just like he did against Michigan. But also, you're playing against an SEC team. Lou Holtz has already said you're all finesse and you're soft. So I could totally see Ryan Day really try to say, no, we aren't soft.
You mean the last time he tried to say that and he lost?
We can pound the ball with the best of them. At the end of the day, Will Howard's a Big 12 quarterback. He should have stayed there. I think he's going to be turnover prone in this game. That's why I think Tennessee has a chance. But you just kind of have this feeling, or at least I do, that Ohio State is going to win this game.
I'm obviously. I think Tennessee has a very good shot to win this outright. Matt, your theory of Ryan Day saying, oh, we're soft, I'll show you. Well, he had that as 21.5-point favorites against Michigan. I'll show you we're not soft, and you took yourself right to a loss at home. Well, guess what Tennessee has in common? They can run the damn ball, just like Michigan could run the damn ball. Couldn't pass. Nico passes better than them. So not only do you have to worry about a guy who does have the ability to throw a deep ball, unlike Orji and Davis Warren, but you also have to watch him run. You've got to watch Tennessee's offensive line push you in the mouth, you know, and Samson run. I think Tennessee matches up very well to play a cold style smash mouth football. I think their fans are going to travel here. I took them +7.5, +8, +10, and money line sprinkle. I think Ohio State either wins a close one or loses outright. I think Tennessee, and Nick, this probably goes to where you were talking about earlier, but I think Tennessee and Penn State have the best opportunity to cover in their games. I think Tennessee is the best dog with the chance to win the game outright. Ohio State's banged up on both the offensive line and defensive line, and that's what Tennessee is going to play into because their running game has carried them to a 10-2 record this year, and that's Ohio State's flaw.
Yeah, I have Tennessee +7.5. I also have first half under 23.5, so I somehow would match up with both of you guys on this one. This isn't your normal, like, I don't know, Ohio State fans have felt like, oh my gosh, this is a Southern team coming north. It's like, it's been in the 20s and 30s and here like the last 2 weeks. Like,
it snows 20 minutes away from Knoxville. Yeah,
this isn't SMU in Dallas, like going up to Happy Valley. Like, this is a 5-hour drive, like, north. Like, it's not that different. And Tennessee doesn't play, like, this isn't your normal hypo offense either, where it's like, we're going to spread you out and throw the ball 50 times. Like, they led the SEC in rushing for a reason. Like, offensive line, fantastic. Best running back, like, second best running back in the country in my mind. I think Dylan Sampson kind of got screwed out of those, not being an AP All-American. Like, wait, what? You lead SEC. You're the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. You lead the SEC in rushing, and you're second in the country in touchdowns. You're third in the country in yards. It's like, okay. So it also puts a chip on their shoulder too, because all everybody's talking about is, oh my gosh, Ohio State this, Ohio State that. They have better athletes. I will give Ohio State this. They have a better receiving core, and they have a better defensive backfield. So if you want to talk like straight athletic, sure. But whose offensive line would I take? Tennessee's. Whose defensive line would I take? Tennessee's. Whose running back would I take? Like, don't get me wrong. Both Ohio State's running backs are going to play in the NFL. But I still take what Dylan Sampson's done this year. Yeah, Ohio State's missing two starters right now. Or one starter. But left tackle and right guard. Yeah. Well, they had to move the right guard like to center, I think, or something like that. And we saw him not be able to block Michigan. And Tennessee rotates just 8 defensive linemen over and over and over. And Pierce is better than any of those guys on Michigan. He's supposed to be he'll be around like the 5th pick in the draft. And they're going to have to block him, which he's going to be coming off that left tackle side and look out. So this is one of those things where I think Ohio State's going to have to try to run the ball. I don't trust Will Howard. Scary thing here about where I'm picking Tennessee at +7.5. Like what I would be most worried about is the defensive backfield of Tennessee versus those Ohio State receivers. Like, they can absolutely bail Will Howard out in certain situations where if they catch Tennessee in man-to-man, those guys can win anything. If Jeremiah Smith beats a guy 40 yards down the field for a touchdown, that can hurt. So, like, that's where I think Ohio State has to win this one. But I'm with both of you guys. I think this is low scoring. I think Tennessee keeps it close, though. Just listen, there's going to be 20% Tennessee fans, if not more. Like, we've all seen the stats of how many tickets they're getting. Tennessee fans are also, like, I live in Knoxville, so I know how psycho Tennessee fans are about this football team, baseball team, whatever it is.
Living
they
like
will
it's
be there,
again.
And they'll be loud. So I think Tennessee's going to go in there and prove a point. I think they keep it close. I will probably – I don't want an official play on Tennessee money line. What I'm going to do is, like, you guys will see it. And, I would say, like, use one of your – like, FanDuel is going to put out, like, a profit boost. DraftKings will have a profit boost. MGM, like, whatever book you're using will probably have a profit boost. So I would, like, play what you want to play. Like, I'm going to do the Tennessee plus 7.5 of my normal unit, and then probably just do, like, a profit boost type of thing on Tennessee's money line. And just, like, way lower unit. So I think that's kind of the way that I would approach it.
Well, y'all talk me into it, because I just bet Tennessee plus 4.5 for the first half. Split that half unit, did another half unit on Tennessee plus 7.5, and then a quarter unit on plus 255 on the money line. The more I sit here, plus I love a reason.
I love when we talk against you Ohio State. Your local sports book.
Yeah, make you some money.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you talked about it earlier. I was going to wrap it up with a couple of questions. Which dog has the best opportunity to win outright?
I think it's Tennessee for what I just said. I just think they match up the best.
Agreed.
For sake of being different, I'm going to say Indiana. Sorry, Nick.
Hey, but, you can say it. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I know. and
the favorite, I would say, is Penn State.
Yeah.
The best chance to cover.
Which, if you had to pick one of these eight teams that are playing in this first round to win it all, who do you think has the best chance?
Out of strictly these teams, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I have to. I mean, personally, I have to. But also, like, their path looks much better now that we know Beck's not playing. Like, it's like if you get past Indiana, then you get Georgia without Beck in a quarterback's first ever start, and it's going to be in a playoff game. And then you're probably getting either most likely Penn State or Boise State. Sign me up for that if you're Notre Dame. But then you get into the serious part where it's most likely going to be either Oregon or Texas, probably in the championship game. So that's kind of where, like, you probably are underdogs.
Notre Dame, like, that's Texas in that scenario.
Oh, of course. But, like, that's where I think there'll be underdogs either game or against either team. So I think that's the one where it'd be tough. But yeah, just path wise is working out well if Notre Dame can get, like, past this.
See, and I think Penn State has the easiest path, because you handle SMU, you turn around, all you have to do is load the box, stop Genty, and now you're talking about either Georgia or probably Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it goes with what you're saying, Matt. Like, does he win big games? Like, if you're going to pick Penn State, you have to weigh that in. Like, who's coaching? Like, I'm going to win the big game.
I heard on the Bears podcast this week where he said, Franklin, just to get to the championship game, Franklin would have to beat more top 15 teams in this three-game span than he has in his 11 years of coaching at Penn State. And I was like, in 3 weeks, he'd have to win more. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Things are not easy path, but
if I came to you from the future and said that the national championship is going to be all SEC or all Big Ten, which one would you say it is?
Odds-wise, I would say Big Ten, just because I think it's more likely that it's Oregon, Penn State than it is. Texas, Georgia is possible. But, yeah, I don't know.
I think Texas, Georgia, you'd be showing blatant SEC.
I hate that is even a possibility, because I don't want that. But at the end of the day, I mean, Oregon's got the toughest path. Congratulations, you did everything you're supposed to do. Here you go.
If you get an all SEC, I think that changes who gets in next year if this situation happened again.
I think it depends on who it is. I think if it's Texas, Georgia, I think that changes it. I think if Tennessee makes it there, I think that's a different story.
Correct. If Georgia makes it, because Georgia was a weak team this year. But I think the stature of SEC national championship, again, it really bodes well for, like, the Alabama argument, because it's like, hey, SEC produces – that's the bias. Like, the SEC, we put them in, they win the national championship against these other schools that you claimed were better. I think that would potentially have an effect on if this same situation, potentially same teams or similar teams, happen next year. I think it sways the decision.
Babyface ask, is Klubnik hitting the portal?
No, no shot.
No, he's not. They don't have
anybody. They're not bringing anybody yet. I mean, they're bringing in, what's that, five-star guy next, like, this year.
Yeah, but
he's not gonna start right away. No, Klubnik's, and Klubnik's been good. Like, I don't see, there's nowhere else he'd go.
All right. Well, that wraps it up, unless you guys have anything else to touch
on. I mean, I guess just my four.
And
I mean, I can just, like,
dogs here.
Yeah, just reiterate my four. Like, so I guess I didn't say this. So I parlayed Notre Dame with Penn State. That was my two, like, money line parlay. It got 114. So, like, pay attention to your books. Like, mine, I got a 114 on FanDuel. It was like plus or minus 132 at, like, I think MGM and Hard Rock. So, like, pay attention. So that was mine. I also was with Matt, had Penn State first half minus 4.5. And then I said both the Tennessee ones as well. So those are my only four. And then other lean being Clemson team total under if it gets to like 20.
And then we will not be back before Christmas. So of these other bowl games, while I get those pulled up, do y'all have anything in those? We're going to have, looks like Monday, you've got Coastal Carolina, UTSA, Northern Illinois, Fresno State. And then Christmas Eve, you've got South Florida, San Jose State. Anything in those have you bet on?
Mm-hmm. Haven't even had time to look ahead. Way too much looking into these four. Too much. My brain is, like, scrambled, and I'm, like, 5 hours ahead of kickoff still. So, no, I'll probably look into those. Heading over to Nashville tomorrow, and then so I'll probably look at those Monday morning or so, like maybe Sunday afternoon during NFL games.
Well, Ken, you guys enjoy your holidays as well. We will be back at some point to kind of close up and talk about the next round, and we'll try to hit on any bowl games that are in the day or two following that. So until then, everybody have a very Merry Christmas, and we will see you next week.